The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoors and Radio Show. We talk about fishing and hunting and the great outdoors. And a little concerned whether we were actually going to make it there the second hour. It seems that Chris might have. Hi, Chris. I can't hear you. You're not coming through my headsets. There you go.
A little technical difficulty.
Uh-huh.
I had to make sure that I had the recorder on to get this.
Ah.
I was doing that and forgot to turn up the pot.
Oh.
Just a wee bit tired, but that's not an excuse. That's just saying.
No, but it's a reason.
Yeah, it's a reason, but it's not an excuse.
No,
it's a reason.
No, but we allow excuses here.
Okay, but I'm not going to give them.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoors and Radio Show. We talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. And our guest this morning is Mike Malpezzi. Did I say that correctly, Mike?
You did.
Good. He is the Artificial Reef Coordinator for the Fishing and Boating Services, Maryland's Department of Natural Resources, a guest from our fine folks in fisheries. And we appreciate you being here this morning.
No problem.
Have you been fishing?
I should probably lose my job over this, but I have not been fishing this year.
Mike. But you've been working for fisheries, you know, so you get some brownie points for that. That's good.
Yeah,
man. So, let's see. Last time we talked about some different locations, but this year, why don't we just go right to the update? What are a couple of the current sites and how are they doing, and then the new sites from the last time we talked about a year ago?
Mm-hmm. So, since we talked, probably about last fall,
mm-hmm.
We've done a number of deployments, mostly at our Love Point site, just near the mouth of the Chester River.
Right.
We've done probably about 8 deployments there,
mm-hmm.
7 or 8. And a lot of that was material from the 895 bridge that's being demolished
right.
in Baltimore. So that project, we got the last load of that project, so
right.
they're all finished with that demolition, and that stream of material has just sort of dried up, as they
sure,
say,
sure, sure.
In the last few months. We have, having said that, I've already talked to a contractor just 2 weeks ago about another stream of material
right.
for that same site that should come online in about, in the next, say, like 3 to 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Or by the end of the summer anyway. The
right.
timeline's a little sketchy, but that's one of our most popular sites. It's close to marine contractors in the Baltimore area.
Right.
So it's been receiving pretty regular inputs, since I started about 3.5 years ago.
Cool.
And it'll probably, the way the site is currently configured, we could probably continue at our current rate for at least another couple of years, before it's filled.
Got it. Now, when you say the site is filled, now, Love Point, for example, how big of an area are we talking about? I guess it's like a debris field underwater, basically, if you're using bridge components and slabs of concrete. And, you know, I don't know how much metal goes into that, but...
The full site is, the full permitted site is just over 50 acres. I think it's about 60 acres.
Okay.
Of that site, we're sort of filling in, the southeast corner of the site, is about, it's probably about a 12 acre area that's sort of, it's the best bottom for artificial reef material.
Or right.
For the type that we're placing there, sort of larger concrete structures. So, the bottom overall is pretty firm there.
Right.
Towards like the northwest, there's a little bit of mud over the bottom.
Right.
And in the southeast corner that we're currently filling in, it's all just kind of like pretty firm sand clay kind of bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So we're filling that in, and right now, the way the material is sort of the way it's been deployed is, this is very roughly speaking, because it's not, I hesitate to call it a straight line, but
right.
In a couple lines sort of go roughly from south to north, about 600 to 800 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
And there's kind of a couple of those lines.
Nice.
The idea being, if you were not an anchor and kind of drifting, you would have, you'd stay on the material for a while.
Right.
You would just be on it 1 second and then off the other. And, when I talk about the material, that area being filled, it'll never be, or at least I wouldn't deploy material there such that the bottom was completely, 100% paved over.
It would be, of course.
Patches. Yeah. So right now it's kind of, the barges that take the material out there are about, maybe about 120, like say 100 to 120 feet long, and maybe, I don't know, anywhere from like, 20 to 40 feet wide.
Right.
And we kind of, each deployment kind of mimics that kind of, footprint on the bottom.
Like a barge load right there.
Maybe about 100 feet long, and
right.
maybe 20, 30 feet wide. So there are all these patches of roughly that size.
And these are easily seen on fish finders, depth finders, and things like
that.
Oh,
yeah, right? they'll pop up. You don't need a fancy depth finder at all.
Right.
even if you had a...
Well, when you're in 14 feet and all of a sudden you go to 8 feet, you're on one of the humps, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I got it. How deep is that site, by the way?
It's about 30 feet.
About 30 feet. Yeah.
27 feet is kind of the shallower end of the area we're
right.
taking material at, and it's 30 is about the deepest.
And then how high of a stack are we talking about?
It'll go up to the highest. The last time I was out, I think the highest we saw it was 19 feet. So
okay.
From like 30 to 19 feet. So that's like 11 feet off
yeah.
the bottom. That's a big hump.
Yeah. Not any challenge to navigation.
No. Yeah. So our clearance with the Corps of Engineers permit we have to maintain 15 feet of clearance,
mm-hmm.
Over the material. And we haven't even challenged that in that area. We're most, not that 19 foot kind of hump is definitely the shallowest. It's usually it'll go from say about, 30 up to maybe 22 feet or so. So
yep,
about,
got it.
6 to 8 feet of relief off the bottom.
You know, these
are what we're aiming for.
People need to understand these aren't solid humps of material either. These aren't like, you're filling in with a concrete, block of material. This stuff has crevices and holes and, places where the fish can swim in and out, bait fish can swim in and out, crabs can swim in and out and take cover. And, you're basically building a reef, structure that is meant to support life. This is not a speed bump on your street. This is an open structure that the current can flow through and life can move in and out of.
Yeah, exactly. And when we even do deployments, I'll instruct the crane operator that, all the crane operators that I've worked with have been extremely skilled. And if so instructed, they could just stack the material up in a solid block coming right off the bottom, like
right.
a cube. And I kind of tell them, that the ideally they'll kind of scatter it around or release the pieces, off the bottom. So they kind of disperse on their way down.
Right.
Add some sort of like some randomness.
Yeah.
Liking it to, like pick up sticks.
Yeah.
As opposed to, neatly setting them down on the bottom all together in a row. So that randomness, is where you get a lot of the interstitial spaces and the nooks and crannies.
Yeah.
You're creating
habitat, not roadblocks. So.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
I get it. That's the idea. All right. Well, that's Love Point. So it's roughly 50 to 60 acres, extends up as shallow as 19 feet, which most recreational boats and commercial boats don't have a bit of problem with. So, you're pretty much done with that distribution. So then you've got something else, something at Tillman. What's going on at Tillman?
Tillman Island, that's a site that we have been placing reef balls there since I started about 3.5 years ago.
Right.
And we haven't placed any there yet this year. We might do a deployment before the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
If not, then surely next year. We're collecting and stockpiling reef balls. We work with a lot of partners. CCA being one of the main ones. They have a really great program where they basically get schools to build reef balls,
mm-hmm.
and then we stockpile them. And whenever we get, usually the deployments we do are about, we shoot for about 140 or so. That makes it.
That's a nice
boat. It costs so much money for the boat to go out once,
yeah.
no matter what. So
yeah,
that's the amount that we. Try to get out there to get our money's worth.
Explain again to our listeners what a reef ball is when you use that term. What is a reef ball?
Yeah, so a reef ball is, they come in many different sizes. The ones we use are about maybe knee high, about two to three feet. And it looks like, kind of like an igloo or like an old fashioned, beehive kind of upside down dome, with a lot of holes in the sides, it's made of concrete and it's hollow on the inside and has holes around the outside. It's a prefabricated engineered structure that is designed for artificial reefs. You can place them in clusters along the bottom and they provide, sort of instant habitat. And, unlike the large concrete structures that I place when we do demolition materials, those are good because they create, you can get 8 feet of clearance off the bottom right away, in an afternoon. The reef balls are they're shorter, but they have a really high surface area to volume ratio, so you get, sort of like immediate benefits as far as, the epifauna that grow on them. And the other good thing about reef balls is, they fit nicely in an oyster setting tank, and they only weigh maybe 1 to 200 pounds each, which is a lot more
user friendly,
a lot more mobile,
yeah.
than like a 12-ton block of concrete. So
exactly.
You can put them in a tank and raise and set them with oyster larvae, so they have spat on them.
Spat already established. That's pretty
when
cool.
When you place them, and then. Not all of our sites, but all the places we put reef balls in are areas where, a lot of them are areas where there might not be a great amount of natural recruitment, but if you put oysters there, they will grow very well.
Right.
And Tillman Island, it kind of fits that bill. It does get some natural recruitment of oysters.
Mm-hmm.
There's some very large concrete structures that were placed there in the past. about a decade ago, and we have some video that shows that there are oysters on that. It's not a hundred oysters per square meter or anything
like that.
But there is some amount of
some filtration
natural recruitment there. But these reef balls that we place with, you know, that are already set with spat, divers come out, you know, a year later and they're
growing,
packed with 1-inch oysters.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. That's cool. So, all right, we're going to take a break, Mike, and talk about some of our sponsors, and we'll be right back to you here. So hang in there.
Okay.
All right. Hey, let's talk about your crabbing headquarters, which is Clyde Sports Shop right here in Baltimore. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, as a matter of fact. Look, if you need some Pasadena crab traps or low-profile crab traps, they've got them. The topless crab traps are also available. You know, they're $11.99 a piece, $129.95 a dozen. That's a reasonable price for a dozen crab traps, topless crab traps. You know, they've got the trot lines, the tarred line, the 1,000-foot of Loctite number 5 nylon. They've got the pre-rigged snood trot lines as well, the snoods, the bait bags, the floats. All kinds of stuff, baskets and lids, all the measures and tongs and gloves and all the little stuff you need. They even have their own seasoning, their own steamers, commercial crab pots and hotels and crab rings and cloth and wire crab nets. You get the idea. Clyde's is your crabbing headquarters right here in Baltimore. Check them all out. Again, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108, 24-hour fish and crabbing hotline, 247-347-4247-FISH for Clyde Sports Shop.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number 1 and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bed liner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Come out, take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get a bite all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones. They're mighty fine for skipping stones. You feel fresh as a lemonade sitting in the shade. Whether it's hot, whether it's cool, oh, what a spot. Whistling like a fool. What a fine day to take a stroll and wander by the fishing hole.
We are with Mike Balpezzi here from Maryland Department of Natural Resources. He's the Artificial Reef Coordinator for the Fishing and Boating Services. And we were talking about the some of the reef deployments that we have here in Maryland off Love Point. Maybe that's one of the reasons, Mike, that fishing's so good off Love Point this year.
It could be.
You know,
I've seen some boats out there when I've been out doing field work in that area.
Sure.
And we get I get a lot of reports of I haven't heard any this year about this, but fish like like speckled trout hanging out or being caught in that area right over the reef material, and that's an example of a fish that's not not really reef associated
right.
Very strongly.
Right.
That's not what if I was thinking of catching some speckled trout, I probably wouldn't seek out
right.
A large artificial reef
right.
in 30 feet of water. But they were hanging out above the reef, eating forage fish that happened to be concentrated there.
Sure.
So it's not just your white perch and the fish that live very closely associated with the reef. Once you get those forage fish in, it'll attract fish that aren't necessarily attracted to the structure alone per se, but they're attracted to the food that's there.
Well, the food chain is the food chain has always been and always will be the little fish eat littler bugs, and the little tiny bugs eat smaller bugs, and it goes up from there. So the bigger sport fish eat the bait fish, and then the bigger predator fish eat the sport fish. And if you got habitat for the little stuff, you're going to attract the bigger
everything
stuff.
Everything just kind of follows.
It follows. Yeah, nature. That's the nature of nature. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, cool. All right. Well, you got the sites there, Tillman. You're loading up some reef balls and getting them down there. We understand what a reef ball is, and if anybody doesn't, Google the term or search the term reef ball, and you'll see exactly what we're talking about. It's
mm-hmm.
a concrete structure with a hollow concrete semi-spherical structure with holes in it for fish to travel in and out. Pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we looking at here as far as the future here? What's coming up in 2020?
In 2020, there will be, I mentioned the reef ball deployments
right.
at Tillman Island.
So right.
They're very likely, it's not on the, I don't have it written in pen on my calendar yet, but that will very likely happen
right.
Sometime in 2020, probably the spring.
Right.
We'll continue. We'll, as always, placing large concrete material at Love Point. I've had a couple opportunities, and a lot of this stuff is where you haven't hashed out the details yet. But some precast concrete material, so like concrete like culverts and pipes, whatever a precast company makes.
Right. The Jersey walls on the highway and stuff like that?
Yeah. So we have some of that material that I believe we can get out to Tangier Sound, hopefully by hook or by crook next year, probably next summer. That'll be good.
Okay. The biggest challenge is what? Getting a boat or a barge to, to be able to pay for that, to get that out to make the deployment? Is that the biggest challenge?
Yeah. So, that's the expensive part.
Right.
Anyway, for sure. It's expensive to hire a, you need a tug, you need a barge and a crane.
Right.
Which I wasn't expecting this when I started this job, but, just the transition from, from the yard at a precast concrete company
right.
to onto the barge is probably, that is the most difficult area. So transporting the material from, one of the projects we did, it came all the way from Frederick down to Galesville, got loaded onto a barge there
right.
At the contractor. And then it's not just, you want to find a contractor with a good price, but you're also limited by, sort of by geography.
Right.
Where, if you have a bunch of material at a, that a contractor on the Eastern Shore has, you can't hire a barge that's located in the Potomac River.
Right. I understand.
You need someone with a yard, stockpiling material and kind of staging it before
right.
putting it on the barge. And it's a big, a lot of times, it's kind of, it's tough to get, the
available space.
The person with the material will say, "Well, we need this. We need this out of our yard by the end of this month."
Right.
And the contractor can't deploy it until the end of the summer.
Right.
So, and a lot of times, people don't. Working businesses don't enjoy having, say, 1,000 tons of concrete sitting around their property.
A
project in the in 2 months.
Yeah.
So that like getting from. Once it's on the barge, everything tends to run pretty smoothly because you have professionals that are, that's their job, and they do this all
right.
day long, every day. Once it's on the barge, it's easy.
Yeah. The old term, getting there is half the fun, huh?
Yeah, but exactly. Yeah. But trucking it from, wherever it was created to, to the barge tends to be the most difficult part. And I get a lot of calls from people with material available and we can't place all of it. And that tends to be the area where the project breaks down.
That's the bottleneck right there.
We just can't make it work,
Sure.
Unfortunately.
Logistics.
That's really the hard part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How many times, I'm not talking about the reef balls because they seem to be relatively easy, but has there ever been a time when you've had to move the same material more than once or twice? I mean, have you ever had to take it from one place to another to finally get it on the barge? Is that?
I have not. I'm nothing. It's not ringing.
Any bells, huh?
Ringing a bell.
All right.
But usually because we're pretty, I don't like to stockpile it somewhere where it won't be accessed by the barge from there.
Soon, huh?
So,
I got it.
So it's just, and for the reasons, because I don't want to, you don't want to be responsible for a 500 ton pile of concrete.
Really?
Anywhere.
I can't imagine.
I don't want to, and it's a scary thought to say. Yeah, let's say I get a agreement from a landowner like, we'll allow you to stage the material here, and then
right.
3 months later the project, something happens with the contractor or whatever, they have schedules.
And then it goes another 6 months and you're getting banged on by the landowner. Told me you were going.
So
I get it.
I do everything I can to avoid that.
Sure.
And knock on wood, so far I have.
That's good. That's good. Terrific. So tell me about the Harry Nice Bridge.
So the 301 bridge over the Potomac.
I was 10 miles from there the other day. So,
okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So the super, super scary old bridge that's like a roller coaster.
Yeah, that one.
Over. So, they're replacing that within the next few years. So they're building a new bridge.
Right.
And after they build the new bridge, they're gonna take the old one down, and we should get the exact figures are still in question, but we should get a lot of the old bridge available as artificial reef material. So
yeah.
I've been working with the Potomac River Fisheries Commission. They have some artificial reef sites of their own in the Potomac River.
Sure.
So
say hi to Marty. Say hi to Marty for me next time you see him.
Yeah. I work really closely with him on this project.
Yeah.
So Marty will get some of the material, and then I'll get a lot of it as well. A few years ago, about a decade ago, we did the same thing with the Woodrow Wilson Bridge.
Yeah, sure.
When they replaced that. And that's a lot of our southern sites, that's how they got a lot of their material. So these opportunities, well, they seem to come up once every couple decades or so.
Sure.
So it's really important to take advantage of them.
You likely weren't around, but I was at the celebration at in Annapolis at Dick Franio's place. I can't say the name of the restaurant right now. Back when that funding was approved for the Woodrow Wilson Bridge,
okay,
and Marty was involved. He showed a video of some of the artificial reef deployments. Bill Miles was there. The Secretary of DNR at the time was Ron Franks,
mm-hmm.
and this was under the Ehrlich administration.
Right.
And Ron was there, and I've got a picture somewhere of Ron and Dick Franio, and little did I know then that today I would be married to Ron Frank's older daughter.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
So that worked out pretty well.
Worked out well for me, that's for sure. So, yeah, Robin is Ron's daughter, and Ron is he's recuperating right now in Easton. He had a recent health scare, and he's we went to visit him last week, and he's funny, he's sharp, despite his he's had a history of some strokes, but always enjoyable talking to him, and we talk about things that happened under his watch, and it's always fun. So So I don't, just kind of a blast from the past as far as the reef program. As a matter of fact, we set up funding when I was at the big box down in Arundel Mills. We set up a collection point for some funding for the artificial reef program way back when. I don't know whatever happened to it, if it's still there, not there, whatever. But that was kind of a cool thing to do, working with Marty on that. So.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, been involved in that for, not actively or anything like that, but around the periphery, since the start of that, start of the artificial reef program with the Woodrow Wilson bridge funding, so forth. So,
mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah, and the Woodrow Wilson, like you said, I wasn't around at that point, but the Woodrow Wilson bridge, the reef program, sort of got on board. That was sort of an opportunity that popped up. The reef program got on board late in the game,
right,
relatively speaking.
Right.
The demolition was already, sort of imminent.
Right.
Whereas with this one, learning, sort of lessons from the past, and this, and a lot of this has to do with Marty Gary.
Oh yeah.
As well. So he's, we've been involved in sort of in the process since, the new bridge won't go up until, next year, and the old one won't come down for a couple years after that.
Right.
I want to say 2022.
Right.
But don't hold me. It could be plus or minus a year there. But he, we got involved in the process. We've been doing it for over a year now, going to meetings and stuff to make sure that the contractors, who I believe they're going to award a contract for it fairly soon, so we'll know, or the contractor will know that, the artificial reef activities are something that the state would like to happen, so we can
right,
work with them from the, from the get-go, and they can plan for it a little better, work it into their, into their budget and everything to try and make it happen a little easier. Although from my understanding is the Woodrow Wilson Bridge, once it kind of went off, it it went like gangbusters. I have the spreadsheets that show all the deliveries.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Of concrete to all their southern sites, and it was my predecessor seemed to be keeping him on his toes out there, you know, almost every day for a while.
Right.
With these deployments. So it should be a good opportunity, and it's again, you know, plus or minus, it's roughly about the same size as the amount of material that went in from the Woodrow Wilson Bridge. So it'll be a substantial amount of material to build Reese with.
Yeah, any idea where the deployment's going to be? I'm guessing going to be down in the Potomac and in some site nearby in the lower bay there somewhere, huh?
So probably a lot of it will probably go to Point No Point. And then, like I said, Marty at the Potomac River Fisheries Commission, he has some sites in the Potomac River that'll receive some of the material.
Right.
I'd like to get some of it across the bay.
Yeah.
To our Tangier Sound site. And we might be able to get some of the, we'll have to talk with the contractor and price and all that thing to see how far we can afford to take it.
But sure.
I'm thinking, we have a Cedar Point site, you know, down near the mouth of the Potomac or Patuxent River.
Yeah, sure.
We might get some material there. I'm not quite sure about
Got
that.
It.
But Point No Point and Tangier Sound are my two big ones that I'm really kind of trying for right now.
Sure.
Point No Point is the closest one, so that's where the Point No Point will definitely get material because that's the closest one for the contractor. And it's easy for them.
Let me ask you.
And yourself.
All right. We're going to have to go into a break here real soon, but I'll let you chew on this one. If you look at the work that the Corps of Engineers is doing down there off of Crisfield and Smith Island and that type of thing on the lower bay on the eastern shore side, I don't know if that project's been done or not, but we were able to get down there 2 years ago and kind of go all through that back area there, Smith Island, you know, across from the target ships and so forth.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful, beautiful location, beautiful site down in there. But the amount of equipment that they've deployed, does Corps of Engineer help you with the equipment side of it at all?
No, generally speaking, no. They help us in that they give us our permit that allows us to do it.
Right.
But I haven't worked as far as on the deployment side.
Yeah.
They've
got some heavy duty equipment, I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So a caller said, it just got a call, he asked, it didn't go on the air, why aren't the reefs marked?
That's a good question, and that's a question I get a lot.
Yeah.
So it comes down to cost and the fact that there's a large number of sites used to be marked, but they ran into trouble with buoy maintenance. So you can't just when you put a marker buoy out. There's a cost associated with that. It's just every year you got to go out and keep it.
I got that, but what about the online mapping? Isn't there a way that artificial reef site that you can show people where the reefs are?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the other point, too, is that now that there's now that things like GPS are more accurate than like the old Loran C system,
right?
And more, you know, more accessible to most fishermen. You go to our site, the easiest way to find it, I could list off this long email address, but if you just Google Artificial Reefs Maryland, it's the first thing that pops up.
Artificial Reefs in Maryland?
Use your favorite search engine.
Yeah.
And on our website, you'll be able to find locations of all of our sites. Some of the sites, we even have like a little interactive map where you can sort of zoom in, and if you zoom in far enough, it'll actually resolve like the polygon, the actual outline of the shape of the site.
So it's online. You can find that site online.
Correct.
An angler's willing to go do a little research ahead of time, he can figure out where he's not going to be able to, or where he's going to lose some lures, I guess.
Yeah, I got exactly. It. All right. And some of the, you know, if it's a 100-acre site, there won't be material completely covering that 100 acres. So
right.
When you get there, you kind of have to poke around a little bit to find
sure.
it. But
go across it with your depth finder before you drop your lines, huh?
Exactly.
All right. Hey, we do have to take that break, so hang on there, Mike. All right. Hey, Clyde Sports Shop, you know, hunting season's right around the corner. Of course, we talked about the crabbing and fishing stuff, but I want to tell you about the A5. It's the most reliable, fastest cycling, best balance, and softest shooting recoil-operated autoloader shotgun on the planet. It's in Mossy Oak Shadow Grass Blades, DuraTouch Camo, fiber optic front sight, and the humpback receiver just like the old days. It's an autoloader with 100,000 round or 5-year guarantee, the A5. That's right. And then the X-Bolt bolt-action big-game rifle comes in all standard Magnum and short Magnum calibers. Comes with an adjustable feather trigger, detachable rotary magazine. It is an extremely accurate bolt-action big-game hunting perfection from Browning, the X-Bolt. The X-Bolt. And there's also a version of the X-Bolt called the Hell's Canyon. Comes in three different styles, the Speed, which is a little shorter, a little lighter, the Long Range, and then the McMillan models. And this is comes in the arid urban camo, perfect for, camo out in the desert if you want to do some long-range pronghorn, elk, whatever, hunting out west. You could pick up one of these. DuraTouch finish, composite stock. The barrel has a Cerakote finish. The barrel and all the steel has a Cerakote finish. Fluted Sporter barrel with a threaded muzzle brake, a detachable rotary magazine, and a short throw bolt. Adjustable trigger, select calibers in the X-Bolt Hell's Canyon Speed, Long Range, and or McMillan models. All this at Clyde Sports Shop, your full-line Browning dealer. 410-242-6108, or stop by and visit them, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. That's 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, 410-242-6108 for Clyde's Sports Shop, open 7 days a week.
A little weak summertime cold front keeps seasonable numbers in our forecast here across Maryland. Talking highs in the upper 80s this afternoon and 63 tonight. We'll be up there again tomorrow. The 90s return early next week, Monday, Tuesday, with some isolated thunderstorms in the forecast, especially by Tuesday. About a quarter to a half inch of rainfall advertised for our Tuesday forecast coming up, but a mainly dry weekend here, just an isolated storm at most. I'm meteorologist Scott Laurie, more from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners rated number one, carrying nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built their reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
I couldn't get all my voicemails in that short amount of time. Well, yeah, you better be. You better learn to manage your time a little better. Chesapeake Outdoors, first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers. Get ready for bow season. Compound bows and crossbows like the Matthews Vertex, the Mission Sub 1XR crossbow, the Great Raven crossbows, the R26 and 29, clearance on all Hoyt archery, 10 point, Excalibur, Carbon Express, and Barnett crossbows, custom arrows, bow tuning and accessories. Do you realize that bow season is less than a month away? It's September 6th. That's right. Camo apparel for all seasons. Thousands of accessories for bows, muzzleloaders, and firearms. And, you know, you get that bow rigged up, my buddy Pete will take care of that for you. They're very good at what they do when it comes to rigging up a bow. Firearms and ammunition, muzzleloaders by Thompson Center and CVA, Costa sunglasses, Yeti coolers, Rambo electric bikes, large selection waterfowl calls, Dove gear like ammo, camo, decoys, buckets, and chairs, all at Chesapeake Outdoors, Route 50 East, exit 39B Dominion Road, right there on Ken Island in Chester, Maryland. 410-604-2500. That's Chesapeake Outdoors.
Talk Radio 680 WCPM.
Yes, some folks say I'm a simple kind of man. I love the outdoors. Eat my beans from a can. I like hunting, fishing, don't care what the tree huggers say. I learn more about life sitting out in the woods or on the banks of a river when the fishing's no good. And if I go home skunked, well, hell, I still had a good day. 'Cause if I can't go hunting, I'll go fishing. If I can't go fishing, I'll be wishing that I find something fun to do before I call it a day. Yeah, give me my gun, a fishing pole. You might find me down at the fishing hole. I put the line in the water, watch a bobber go floating away.
Well, there you go. Put the line in the water, watch the bobber go floating away. You're supposed to see it go dunking underwater. That's what you're supposed to see, not floating away. That means your line's broke, I think. Hey, Mike, we're back. Hey. Any closing thoughts in the last few minutes here? Anything you want to tell folks? Do your research, number one, and you won't lose so many lures.
Yeah, yeah. Well, definitely. Unfortunately, that's one of the sort of costs of doing business as far as fishing on reefs.
Yeah.
You're gonna slowly, you know, $4 at a time.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, the caller wasn't happy about losing it, and it's your fault because you put those rocks there, you know, where he fishes. So.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Yeah. I like to kind of when I you know, like jig over a reef, I just, you know, you want to bounce it. You want to bounce it over the reef. You don't want to drag it over the reef. That's kind of my philosophy and how I try to avoid that. But yeah, keep your eyes out or your ears peeled. Again, if you want any information about the Artificial Reef Program, the best way is to just go to our website. My email and phone number is on the Artificial Reef website as well. If you just Google like Maryland Artificial Reef,
yep,
the first thing that'll pop up. And I'm I like to think of myself as a pretty accessible state employee. So my number and my email's on there.
Yep.
I take calls and answer emails from the public all the time, either questions or people saying, you know, I fish in this area and we think this would be a good, you know, would be a good site for a reef. I'm not saying if you say you should put a reef in here that next year you're going to have a reef in there, but.
Right.
We do, ideas we have for new sites are almost always, brought to us first by members of the public.
Right.
So we take requests, but we take information from the public and use that, in our decision making process when it comes to new re-sites or which areas should be improved relative to others. And all that. So yeah, definitely go to the website. If you have any questions, don't feel shy about reaching out to me at all.
Got it. Well, we appreciate you being here today, buddy. And, we just, want to say thanks and thanks to, the Fishing and Boating Service and all the folks that, you know, facilitate the Outdoors and Radio Show. We're going to be working with a few more folks here coming up in the next couple weeks for some pre-recorded shows we're doing in September when we're out on break. So,
okay.
So, again, thanks for doing all you do and keeping the folks informed. And, you know, I guess people could file a claim against the DNR to get the cost of their lures back. Don't give them any ideas, right?
They can file a claim.
Don't give them any ideas.
I don't know if it'll amount to anything.
Well, let's hope the benefits outweigh the catching more bigger and better fish outweighs the disadvantage of losing a lure or two. So
exactly.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate you being here.
Take care.
All right, you too. Bye bye. There he goes. All right, we just have a couple minutes left before the music starts, and I wanted to say thanks to all our listeners and our sponsors for the Outdoors and Radio Show. We are going to be recording a couple shows here in the next few weeks. Robin and I are going to be out on break in September for a couple of weeks. Chris will be here running the boards, and we'll bring you some good information, some good shows. Want to say thanks to the folks at Autumn Sky Outfitters for hosting Bucks, Bears, and Stags. Last Saturday, we measured some good bucks, and you can check that out on our website, on our Facebook page, which is Bucks, Bears, Stags. Facebook, Bucks-Bears-Stags, or just Bucks-Bears-Stags. We are the Maryland record-keeping source for white-tailed deer, sika deer, and black bears. We measured Robert Mark's black bear the other day from Washington County, and that bear actually made it into the Boone and Crockett record books, as well as being our number two bear here in Maryland for our records. Maybe not the biggest one ever taken, but September 15th will be the cutoff for that, for measuring for the upcoming book, Maryland's Finest, coming out in December. Also, Chesapeake Forest Lands, one more time. Bill Miles has been hired by the Chesapeake Forest Alliance. The list of clubs and club members is not accessible. If you are a member of a club and don't know anything about Chesapeake Forest Alliance, reach out to Chesapeake Forest Alliance on social media.